take place between 9 and 10 p.m. Finalist will receive a golden ticket from the judges.
The golden ticket.
People with golden tickets will be invited on stage around 10:15 for the final judging. Cash prizes will be awarded. Doobody-doo.
Good evening and welcome to a October 21st edition of Sitka Sports. Tonight is kind of a special edition here in the studio. I am joined by Sitka High baseball head coach Ed Conway, assistant coach Mark Buggins, and longtime president of Sitka Little League Brian Hansen. And we're here to talk through a special week in Sitka baseball this week. The transformation of Moeller Field was pretty much complete. And October 18th on Alaska Day, we had a great dedication ceremony. And then last night, just a phenomenal evening of fall baseball alumni game to open up the new field and style. And we're going to spend some time talking through kind of the history of the field and then through some of these guys' experiences. Brian played on the field during his youth, and then these guys all came up with their kids as they played. So exciting time to talk about what's been going on over the last really probably 5 or 6 years, maybe even a decade. But for the most part, the last 6 months, as we've seen that field just totally change. And Coach Conway, just an amazing night last night. I showed up in the third inning and had just wrapped up the volleyball tournament at the high school. And I walked in and it just felt surreal to me. It was like I've never been to a fall Major League Baseball game, you know, a World Series game. But it kind of felt like that to me. The air was crisp. The lights were on, all the colors were just popping, it was vivid. I mean, the stands were as packed as I've ever seen up at Moeller Field, and what was that like for you?
Yeah, it was a special night, it really was. We as a baseball community, we were able to thank a lot of people, you know, that you just don't get the chance. Something like that only happens once every, you know, once in a lifetime, really, for you. And it was just a great opportunity for us to get everybody together and say thank you and then put on a nice little show for everybody on the baseball field. Because I know the alumni guys were just, they couldn't wait for that game. It was like game 7 of a World Series. They were really into it, and the high school kids didn't want to lose it, and they were really upset they did. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun last night. You know, it was kind of special, first time ever. And, you know, there was a lot of little kids running around the field with their, you know, the parents are chasing them around, and, you know, teenage kids just having a ball, and it was special.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was bundled up. I mean, you couldn't have had a better day weather-wise. The moon was just hanging right out there in center field, and everyone was bundled up. The bleachers were dry, and a great, great night. It was fun for me. My baseball career pretty much ended in second grade, and I think I was afraid of the ball, and I moved on to basketball full-time. But I mean, I watched high school baseball since I was in sixth grade. I remember watching, you know, Shannon McGee and Galen Pearson and Robbie Kinnear and all these guys coming up. And I've always had a great time at that field watching high school baseball. So it's fun to see some of those old timers, the Bartolobe brothers and Kenny Carley and Blake out there. And I popped in and looked in the dugout, and just, it was really neat to see those guys out there.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you were involved kind of on the administrative side of this thing probably more than anyone, and at least from Sitka, and you've had a chance to kind of work with, you know, Lynn at the Parks and Rec and really kind of learn the history of Moeller Park. And why don't you just, you know, for us, tell us kind of the history of how this whole field even started.
Well, the whole park was, the property was almost 15 acres, was dedicated to the city by Dan Moeller's estate. Dan Moeller lived here, worked for the Forest Service, actually worked as the city engineer for a short time. And when he passed away, I think it was in 1949, he had left this property to the city to be a park and a athletic park and baseball field up top. And his sister in 1951 deeded that property to the city. And shortly thereafter, there was volunteer fundraising efforts and people came together in the community to start building the baseball field up there on the upper level. You know, there's a few of those people still around town, but not too many. And, you know, it's been the baseball park in town really since then.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it says the 50s, it was the field was constructed, and then in the early 70s, it looks like there was a Land and Water Conservation Fund, which still is a fund that we pull on for a lot of projects here mm-hmm. in Sitka, but I think the skate park was part of that. But that was when the grandstands and stuff were put in place for the first time. And Brian, you grew up, you know, the only one here in Sitka who grew up playing baseball, the only one in the studio who grew up in Sitka playing baseball. What was, you know, your first memories as a player? What were the conditions of the field?
Well, my family moved here in 63, so the field was already constructed at that time. Of course, I was young at the time, and I was playing minor league and major league, little league at the old field that used to sit where the Hames Center sits now. But when I turned of age to play the big boys baseball, when I was 13 years old, they had what's called a Babe Ruth program here in town. Instead of, it was 13, 14, and 15-year-olders. So that must have been 1969 and 1970, and I can remember very well. I mean, I thought it, back in those days it was a huge field for me as far as going up there. But, Mike, it was a gravel field. It wasn't a sand field. It was a gravel field, and I remember it well of being a real hard surface to play on. And we didn't do the diving and the, you know, jumping, you know, type of sliding that the kids did have done when my kids went through the programs. I mean, because it was, you've heard of the word strawberries that you get for sliding and diving on these fields. We truly used to get those kind of injuries from that field. And when my kids were playing on the field, they started using sands and softer surfaces. But it truly was a gravel field. In fact, I can remember when I was working a summer job for what would now have be considered the community schools. They would have us go up and rake rocks at Moeller Park. Just have like six of us get in a line and rake all the big rocks. And I'd come back at the end of the day to my boss and say, you know, all we're doing is raking up more rocks. I don't understand why we're raking rocks here, you know. So, yeah, it was a rough field, but it was lots of great memories, Mike.
So, I mean, you're talking just D1.
That's what it seemed like.
Infield, outfield.
Yeah. Infield, outfield, D1. I don't remember exactly when the grass came in, but it sure wasn't while I was playing.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is if you can remember when that transformation happened. Mark, do you have any memories of that? I mean, as I grew up, and that was in the mid-'80s, early 90s, I just remember grass the whole time there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was grass when I came to town in 1979 and 80. It was grass then, and kind of seemed like it had been there a while. So I don't really know when the grass came on.
And we of course use that term grass loosely because it was, you know, definitely swampy for large times of the year. And really, it's just, you know, for me, it's just the experience I've had as the athletic director over the last few years, I've had a chance to visit, you know, with these coaches as we brought them in from Anchorage, and we've had a number of coaches who will come in and say, yeah, I played on that field when I was a kid. I remember that field. And, you know, they talk just like you said, Brian, they remember there's just this gravelly pit. So it's going to be exciting to bring these guys back into town again after this and just have them, I mean, they're just going to stand there in awe with their jaws dropped. And for me, it's just the transformation is incredible. I mean, we were all at the field last May 14th, May 12th, somewhere in that time frame, and probably the worst weekend of weather for high school baseball that I had in my 6 years as AD. And I mean, there was outfielders standing out there, literally standing in puddles with the water coming up over their ankles.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that was probably, you know, in my 18 years of doing it, that was probably the worst weekend we've ever had. I mean, and we knew it was coming, too. We were all laughing because we knew this was the last weekend. And we're looking at the weather and we're going, holy cow. You know, it's just a giant front coming in. It was going to cover all weekend long, just dumped on us. And there was nothing we could do about it. You know, we just tried to play the best we could and keep the field up the best we could. But it was we seen it coming. And that those conditions were absolutely horrible. I mean, our mound completely broke down, where we had to pull the mound off and rebuild another one in the middle of the weekend, which we've never had to do before. We've had to do a lot of patching and pushing a lot of water off the field, but we've never had to completely rebuild the mound, which is what we had to do last year and on our last weekend. So, yeah, that was tough.
Now, Brian, you've spent a lot of years as the president of the Little League here. When did you kind of step into the leadership of Little League in Sitka?
Well, I'm not currently the president of Little League, but about 16, 18 years ago, I stepped in the leadership role of it and was the president for about 10 of those years. And, you know, about this field and what I saw over that, it's interesting that to me that I was running a lot of tournaments on that field. We had Junior League and Senior League, that's 13 and 14 and 15 and 16-year-old, was playing tournaments on there when we'd bring either regional or state tournaments into town. And back in those days, you know, that must have been 8 or 9 years ago when we had a few of those tournaments, the field was in pretty good shape. It was starting to, I mean, as far as the city would work really hard on it. But what I noticed in the last 6, 8 years is that it really had been taking a downturn. For some reason, the drainage out in the outfield was getting worse and worse every year. And I can remember 4 or 5 years ago, the quagmire that was created out there. So this new facility transformation didn't come a year too early, let me tell you.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the increased snow levels or what, but yeah, it had become pretty soggy out there. And now, Coach Conway, as my first recollection of this whole discussion being started about this field being transformed here was with the senior project of Bryn Calhoun, and I think he graduated in 06. And that was one of the last few years of the senior project at Sitka High School, and his idea was just to get lights up there.
I mean, right.
We've had to cancel quite a few games because we've run out of daylight and couldn't schedule the games we wanted, and I think the idea was just to get lights. But kind of just talk about how the birth of this idea started.
Well, you know, and it was we had been talking about lights for a while. Because Juneau had, you know, all the fields in Juneau were lit, and all the fields in Ketchikan are lit. And we're going, we don't have one field lit in town, you know. And when you light a field, you get another field. It's, you know, it's just that simple. And so we kind of, you know, Bryn kind of, you know, said, hey, I got a senior project to do, and maybe I'll do it on lights. And we're going, yeah, great idea, Bryn, great idea. So, and in the meantime, we had been traveling to Southern California and, you know, with the kids and going to different tournaments around the, you know, the West, playing in the, you know, with Little League kids. And we started noticing that the surfaces in places where they could grow grass wasn't grass anymore. And everybody was going to this field turf. And, you know, we hadn't heard of it. You know, you see it on TV in a football game. But, like, we went down to San Diego and it was just field after field after field where they can grow the best grass in the world in San Diego because of all the sun. They weren't growing it anymore. And we're going, geez, this is a great idea for us to have something like this in Alaska, you know, in Sitka. And then, you know, as we got a little more successful and, you know, people started noticing us a little bit more, you know, and then, you know, Bryn did his senior project and we're going, well, let's just take the next step and we'll talk to Bert. And, you know, we had Mark here who really knew all the bureaucracy of how to get this done more than any of us did, you know. So, you know, Mark takes it to Bert, and Bert says, geez, that's not a bad idea. You know, let's start with the lights. And he got us the lights first. And we kind of sat on it for a little while because we're going, hey, man, we could really, if we can, you know, get a little more money. We didn't realize how much it was going to cost, but with a little more money, maybe we should go to turf instead of lights now, you know? And so that's kind of how it went. And sure enough, you know, we kept on getting it axed out of the budget. And then finally Bert snuck one in there on us. And I remember he called me that day. Bert called me. It must've been a half an hour after the budget was signed. And he was like giddy. And I'm going, who is this? You know, he's going, it's Bert Stedman. And I'm going, oh, hey Bert, how you doing? He goes, yeah. hey, the governor just signed the budget and your field is in it. And I'm going, no way. He goes, yeah, it's in there, Ed. And I'm like jumping up and down. I'm 4 feet off the ground. You know, I'm calling Bruggins and I'm calling Brian and I'm going, Bert, just call me, and the field's in there, you know. So it was a good day. That's kind of how it all came around.
And Mark, you really did. You really were in the trenches on the bureaucratic side of things. And I mean, it was kind of an interesting, you know, it even delves into kind of the national political landscape here with the Palin era of things. And yeah. Kind of talk about how that process all worked out at, you know, from the state side of things.
Well, the city puts together legislative priorities to go to the state for capital funding projects, and city staff puts those together, and then the assembly goes through them and prioritizes them and with the administration, and ultimately the assembly approves them. So part of the real deal internally within the city is to have those priorities and something like the field or the different projects that we had for the field, because we had multiple years. We had funding requests for the field, for fence or for the concession stand, and then for the lights. And then we started with some turf, and we originally started thinking we would turf the infield. And then, as Brian said, the outfield just kind of started deteriorating, and it was getting swampier and swampier, and the drainage was worse. So then we sort of switched our gears, we, the baseball community, and said maybe we should get turf for the outfield and leave the infield. And then everybody thought that was crazy. You should just turf the whole thing. So it just kind of kept moving along and growing, and the work was to keep that, you know, on the forefront of the city's legislative priorities, and then give the senator and his staff the information that they needed to help explain the conditions, the poor playing conditions. So we had, you know, lots of photographs of the kids playing in the mud. And
yeah, those weren't hard to find, I imagine.
right. Yeah, we all have them of our own kids, you know, at our homes. And so, you know, you just keep those going, and you do what you can to answer the questions of the senator's staff. And, you know, those guys were completely on board the whole time. You know, Weston and still in Bert's office, and Miles Baker, who's now was Bert's chief of staff, he's now with Lisa Murkowski. And he still asks about the field, and he wants to know what's going on. And once I need to send him the aerial photos of it, he'll just love seeing it. So everybody has been excited about it, you know. But it was, you just kind of keep plugging away and keep it in there. And when the time is right, when the state budget's right, and other recreation projects are getting funded, then you can get funding for a project like this.
And as I recall, it was in the budget at least 2 years when it got cut out. I mean, it was vetoed, line item vetoed by the governor.
Yeah,
wasn't
vetoed
it 2 years
once
in a row?
It was vetoed once. I'm not sure if it was twice. It was okay. in the city's requests for 4 years, I think, probably, until, you know, before we got it here this year before last.
And really, I think, you know, I think politics at its best, and how it actually ended up getting done, in that, you know, the Anchorage area, the American Legion folks up there, who are looking to get some ball projects done, you know, got together with Senator Stedman and, mm-hmm. you know, gave him their list. And he said, well, you know, I've got this project we've been trying to do in our district for a long time. And so, you know, it's, you know, some people say it's you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. But I think it's good politics. You know, you help each other out. And we're getting stuff done across the state for kids in Alaska. And so I think it's a great step forward for both areas of the state.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, those guys from Anchorage, the Alliance in Support of American Legion Baseball, those guys do a lot more than just baseball fields, too. They're putting in football fields and tracks, and they're just kind of all about what you just said, just helping the kids in the state have recreational facilities and sports facilities.
Yeah, every time Steve Nerland, who's the head coach of Service High Baseball and the kind of the head of the face of that organization, every time he'd call me and talk to me, I'd just be like, what? Why do you care? I mean, why do you care about Sickle?
Yeah.
What's in it for you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and nothing's in it for them except building fields and having kids have a better opportunity. You know, their whole attitude is build a field like this, like what we have, more kids will come play.
Yeah.
And, you know, so more kids are playing sports. They're not out on the street getting in trouble or whatever, and they're playing sports. So that's kind of what those guys are all about.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to know those guys and seeing them work, and they're definitely a class act.
The need's legitimate too, Mike, you know, and I think that's one of the reasons why it was a project that was well received by other people. And what made it well received too is Mark talks about the baseball community in Sitka, and it's so true. There is a really community of people who have been volunteering and doing it, and they all know, they understand it. So it's not just one person now at the city that's talking to Bert Stedman. It's a whole bunch of people, the whole team of the baseball committee talking to Bert and saying, hey, you know, we could really use this, you know, and the needs there and the demand from the baseball community was there that made, I think, a lot to do with all this being legitimatized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I look at the last two, you know, major projects that really affected kids in Sitka. You know, one, the auditorium that really affected our arts community, and then this field, it's exactly like you said. There's two very organized groups of people who really cared about kids, and they were organized and they were mobilized, and you guys did a great job of that. It was fun to see it happen and come to place, and then just, you know, see the reactions of you guys, to see all that hard work. You know, so many times you beat your head against the wall in that kind of a project and it never comes to fruition. But to really see it realized, and then in that event last night, just, you know, it was a dream come true for so many people.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And that's exactly the way I feel. It's a dream come true for me. I've worked for the city for 25 years, and I've built a lot of things around town and got funding for, you know, water lines and sewer lines and water tanks and big things. And this is more exciting to me than any of those things. It's just it's really key for me. One thing I did want to say too is one of the things that really started this and helped leverage and really get, I think, Senator Stedman's interest was when we got together, the group of baseball users and the baseball community, and really spearheaded by Brian, and built a batting cage with all volunteer labor and all donated, you know,
right,
funds,
yeah,
and things. And
that was important.
That really got people's attention that this group is serious and they can really do something and pull it together. And so that was really a huge stepping stone towards, you know, that was always something that we could put in our legislative priority. These were things that had been built already as part of, you know, the whole renovation of Moeller Park.
Right.
The volunteer work that went into building the concession stand instead of just having to hire the whole thing built, you know, and so you build a batting cage that's, you know, $100,000, and you spend no city money for it. I mean, that got lots of people's attention, and that carried lots of weight in the political arena.
Well, and then the results of that cage, I mean, what it did for your program and you know, the results you got with kids, and it was kind of neat. I was standing at the dedication on Alaska Day, I was standing next to Van along the first base, along Brian's son, and who I had the opportunity to coach when he was in high school in basketball. And I said, so what do you think, Van? Came a few years too late? Mm-hmm. And he just kind of stood there and paused for a minute. And he said, no, you know, we kind of built this thing. It was our group of guys that, you know, worked hard and got in the cage and brought awareness. And so we're just proud that it got done. And I just thought that was a neat perspective from him to see. And then it was, you know, it was fun to see all you guys out there. It would have been fun for Kevin to be out there.
Yeah, you know, when you think about the kids that didn't make it back too, you know, I mean, you got Matt and you got EB and Matt Laux and Kev and, you know, I mean, Lukey, Stevie Poitra, there's a whole bunch of kids, man. It's a good thing they didn't come back because we would have really been in trouble.
Had a double header for sure.
Yeah, we would have had to have a double header. Yeah, but, you know, you think about those guys that didn't get on it. When they come back to town, because a lot of those guys haven't ever seen it, you know, they'll be, you know, their jaws are going to drop. When I've been texting Kev and saying, look, and he's going, Dad, that's like a minor league ballpark. I mean, that's nicer than a minor league ballpark. And I'm going, yeah, Kevin, it's even nicer in person. You know, I haven't talked to him yet about the game because I texted him and I said, hey, we got beat 6-5. And that was the last I had told him. I know he's going to be all psyched up that the alumni beat us. But
of course.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left here. And as we go out, I wanted, you know, the new ballpark, to me, it's almost like, it was almost like the death of an old ballpark. I mean, it's so transformational. And, you know, kind of go forward here with a new ballpark. But, you know, to kind of wrap up the experience of the old ballpark, I'd just like to, you know, ask each of you maybe what's your favorite memory over the last 20 or so years that you guys have really invested up there? What's the favorite memory, or maybe a couple that meld together? I'm sure all your teams, when you coach that long, kind of start to mesh together. But what's one of your top memories of that field over the last however long you've been experienced up there?
Boy, I've got so many of them. You know, it's really hard to pick one. You know, some of the ones that really stick in my mind aren't real big events. I mean, the one thing I really remember was when Jesse Pepper hit that home run against Geno Vick.
Yeah.
in Juneau, and we weren't very good. You know, I think Jesse was he was just junior or something, and Geno Vick was throwing about 90, and they trotted him out there, and like Pepper, I said, you know, Pepper, get in at bat. The game was over. We weren't going to win, and Pepper got in there and he jacked this thing, and the place just went crazy. It was really a nice mm-hmm. memory, and I think, you know, I remember Brent and Eric against Ketchikan when they were seniors. You know, we had a big game. We had to win. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, Bryn and Eric were carrying us, you know, in Matlauk's that whole year. And Bryn throws a beautiful, he throws a gem. And I had to chew Eric and Bryn out earlier in the year because they weren't listening to me when I was giving the signs and they're shaking me off. We get beat. And then they were just unbelievable in that game against Ketchikan to get us to the state championships, which we eventually ended up winning. So, and there's a whole bunch more, but those are two that really stick out for me.
One of the ones that sticks out for me is when the kids were younger, when in senior league, I guess it was, when I think Eric would have been 15 and Kevin and Van would have been 16 and Kodiak came here to play. And we played a best 2 out of 3 with Kodiak. And so that was kind of the first time as older kids we'd had a tournament here that our kids had played in here. It was great weather. The Kodiak team was really good.
Yeah, they were.
We should have beat them, but we couldn't beat Putney, one pitcher. But I have a really good picture of my son, like, diving over the catcher, and so I see that picture all the time, so I guess that's in my mind.
Yeah, I remember that real good, too.
That was a great series.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of started something good with us and Kodiak there for several years.
Right.
After that, we switched. They came here as a high school team and played. We went to Kodiak and played in the snow.
Yeah.
And then they came back, you know, so
we ended up beating them. In the end, we ended up beating them in that state tournament, in the state championship,
in
the semifinals.
Yeah. Every time we played them, we beat them, but they haven't beat us since then.
No. And Rick Langford, he remembers that too, because he's getting better and better over there, too.
Was that your opponent in that one that went extras?
No, that was Homer.
That was Homer.
That was Homer,
that was right.
Yeah.
Okay. Brian, how about you? What was one of your favorite memories up there?
I have so many. You know, I ran a couple of state championship senior league teams out of that program,
right.
Just seeing all those kids program. But I have to be selfish. It's watching my kids play on it, and I had my oldest son Van played on it and had a lot of success, and my younger son Van also played on it too, and they had just a lot of fun. But it brought it all into perspective when I was talking this afternoon with my oldest son Van, and I was asking him about, he had a number of ground balls hit to him on the new field last night, and He go, what was it like to have a ball hit to you on the field, the new field, as opposed to what it was like all those years you played on Old Molder Park? And he goes, you know, last night I didn't even have to think about the ground ball, you know. He goes, and before, you're always thinking about the ground ball being hit at you because you never knew where it was going.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, it's a stress reducer, is that the new field? Is he just because? So that was kind of funny what he said. But, yeah, it was lots of great memories and – and I can still remember when I was just a little kid playing on the field, and we just had it was what I knew baseball was about, and it sure really wasn't the way everyone else was playing baseball. That's for sure.
Yeah, I have a you know, just a recent memory that I had. It was a, I think, a game against Juneau. It was the class of 2008 when Ricky Sheehan and Ryan Staten and those guys were playing, and I just remember a late game against Juneau. I think Ricky had pitched most of the game, and then I think Ryan came in to close out the game, but it was like just one of those gorgeous nights in Sitka, and I was standing along the third baseline and just looking out. You could see Mount Edgecombe. The sun was going down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you probably won't experience that again with the lights now. You won't have those kind of twilight. You're hoping the game gets over, and I don't have to walk out there and make some kind of decision that's going to piss everybody off. And, but it was just a beautiful Sitka evening and great baseball. The crowd was into it. It came down to the last pitch, and just, you know, the uniqueness of that park right there with the Mount Edgecombe in the background, so... Well, I know it's been a busy week for you guys, and I know you're exhausted, and I just want to say, you know, on behalf of myself and the people at Sitka High, and that, you know, really are always trying to give opportunities for kids, thank you for all your work over the years. And I mean, this really is a legacy to you guys and everyone that's involved. There's too many names to list, but, you know, it's a legacy that's going to live for 30, 40, 50 years here, and hopefully we'll see some more state championships as a result.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Thanks,
yeah.
Mike.
Thanks,
so
Mike.
This has been another edition of Sitka Sports. Coming up next is the Sunday Night Potluck, and Matt Goff will be in with the Sitka Naturalist Show.